WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia's Redistricting Commission replaces a missing member, passing over a representative from McGackiesville in favor of a member from the Lynchburg area. Hundreds of Afghans and their families will be evacuated to a military base in Virginia, part of an effort to protect those who work for the U.S. military in Afghanistan. And WMRA's general manager, Matt Bingay, has a remembrance of Martha Woodruff, who died Sunday. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, July 20th. Virginia's Redistricting Commission chose a new member on Monday, but that decision left one region unrepresented on the commission. Virginia Public Radio's Jad Khalil reports.
Co-chair Mackenzie Babichenko announced the newest member of the Virginia Redistricting Commission at a meeting Monday.
So we have our new commissioner, Virginia Trost Thornton, and I will be reaching out to Ms. Trost Thornton and getting her up to speed and hopefully seeing her at our next meeting.
Trost Thornton is a lawyer from Forest, just outside of Lynchburg. She'll come onto the commission less than a month before maps start to be drawn. Commissioners also considered a candidate from McGackiesville in the Shenandoah Valley. Geographic representation dominated the discussion over the vote. Here's Senator Steve Newman.
We've been very committed to regionalism and otherwise, and I do think these two people are as close as we kind of get to Southwest, which is important. Those people in Southwest deserve a kind of a vote.
The vote means that the commission has no representative from Southwest Virginia after Marvin Gilliam from Bristol resigned earlier this month. Most analysts expect that part of the state to lose representation when new maps are drawn because of faster population growth in other parts of Virginia. I'm Jad Khalil.
The largest solar farm on the East Coast is now halfway operational in Spotsylvania County, that's north of Richmond. The project has been producing energy since last August and will generate its full capacity of nearly 500 megawatt hours yearly by this fall. Project spokesperson Helen Humphreys says that will displace more than 780,000 tons of carbon dioxide that would otherwise be emitted from fossil fuel plants.
To remove that much carbon from the Earth's atmosphere, you would have to plant almost 13 million seedlings and let them grow for 10 years.
The project only represents a small fraction of Virginia's energy consumption, but Humphrey says it's just one of many facilities in Virginia's mission to reach carbon neutrality by 2050. Hundreds of Afghans who worked for the U.S. government and their families will be evacuated to a military base near Richmond pending approval of their visas. The Biden administration announced the move Monday as the administration rapidly completes the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan. Members of Congress have expressed alarm about the fate of Afghans who worked for the U.S. over the past 20 years, particularly as the Taliban have stepped up military operations against the Afghan government, seizing control of major portions of the country as U.S. troops withdraw. The Afghans will be temporarily housed at Fort Lee. That's a sprawling army base south of Richmond starting next week, according to a Defense Department notice sent to Congress. The group includes 700 Afghans who worked for the U.S. and roughly 1,800 of their family members. They will be resettled by the State Department and refugee assistance groups. Virginia Tech says it was targeted in two recent cyber attacks, but officials say they are confident that no data was stolen. A university spokesman told the Roanoke Times the malware the hackers pushed out could have exposed student data. The university found no evidence that happened. In a separate attack in May, encryption data was used to attack a university server, blocking the ability of the university to access the data. Tech said the university did not pay ransom money in either attack. Local governments across Virginia are considering entering into collective bargaining agreements with their employees. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Back in the late 1970s, leaders in Arlington County entered into collective bargaining agreements with employees of the county government and the school system. The Supreme Court of Virginia ended up striking down those agreements because local governments did not have the authority to make them. Now, more than 40 years later, the General Assembly has given them that authority, and Arlington is about to start negotiating. David Broder with SEIU Virginia 512 says this is a turning point for labor.
We believe it's time for every local government and school board to pass a meaningful collective bargaining ordinance making sure that frontline workers can bargain for better pay, benefits, and working conditions.
Alexandria was the first local government to authorize collective bargaining negotiations under the new law, although city leaders there left discipline out of the agreement. Arlington, on the other hand, includes a way for an aggrieved employee to get a third-party mediator. Stephen Hayner at the Thomas Jefferson Institute says the discipline part of these agreements is something to watch as more local governments take action.
The union being able to protect a bad apple from discipline is not in the best interest of the public. I think you will find that to be a pattern around Virginia, but we'll see.
Discussions are also underway in Fairfax and Loudoun counties, and labor organizers are hoping to eventually strike agreements for working conditions, pay, and maybe even discipline across Virginia. Michael Pope.
And finally today, as we reported yesterday, former WMRA reporter, producer, and host Martha Woodruff died at her home near Harrisonburg early Sunday morning. Woodruff was 74 and had been diagnosed with cancer. WMRA's Matt Bingay has this remembrance.
Back at the turn of the century, literally, Martha Woodruff called me up and insisted that I hire her as a producer and a host at WMRA. As anyone who has met her already knows, this is how Martha did things. She did not follow protocols, she didn't have time for unnecessary formalities, and she was fearless. It was the year 2000, and after a job interview where I felt like the one being interviewed, and some reference checks from two different producers at NPR that mostly amounted to advice on how to stay out of her way, I decided to roll the dice and see what this audacious, gregarious, and intense person could do at WMRA. And 16 years later, she retired as one of the most recognizable voices in the Valley. In fact, she used to joke around the office that she couldn't speak or laugh in public without being recognized. But I have a hunch that she wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
I love what I call first-level conversations. It's like the person pumping gas next to you or
like
the person behind
you.
Yeah. And just the richness of human interaction, that feeds my storytelling.
That's a comment that Martha made in an interview we did as the final episode of her long-running program, The Spark. Throughout her career at WMRA, she championed the voices of our listeners. Early on, she launched an essay writing contest, and that eventually became a series that she produced called The Civic Soapbox. And many of those first-level conversations or chance encounters became the inspiration for her news features, which might showcase a wrestling camp in rural Virginia, or what it's like to enjoy a hometown demolition derby. A feature that won first place in Soft News for Small Market Public Radio back in 2005. But I believe Martha Woodruff will mostly be remembered for the spark.
I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wish I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things.
For 6 years, as host of The Spark, Martha Woodruff spoke with and shared conversations from everyday people throughout our region. Here's just a sample of her work.
Now let's get to what you want to capture.
So, what I want to capture is photography of the nighttime sky, and that's called astrophotography.
It's called what?
Astrophotography.
The night before the audition, I had been run over.
What?
Nobody's going to believe
but you're
this,
not
Martha.
Squid.
A 280-pound man on a three-wheeler rode over my face.
I'm fascinated with the idea of an ailing turtle. How do you know when a turtle is ailing?
Well, there's usually only three main ways turtles are injured. They're either chewed on by a dog, they're hit by a car, or they're hit by a lawnmower. Those are the three classic ones, and each of the different wounds is pretty distinctive.
What did he tell you needed to do?
To work on these duck pin machines. And
did you know what a duck pin machine
was? No, I had no idea. And the funny thing was, when we got down there, he looked at me and he's like, I'm going to be honest, I don't know too much about these myself either.
What have I missed?
Roller derby?
Ha 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 ha!
the reason we came here.
We can't do everything.
Near the end of her career at WMRA, Martha Woodruff also dedicated more time to her passion for writing and actually published her first novel, Small Blessings, in 2014. She fully retired from WMRA in 2016, but continued to write and engage our community in many ways, most notably through thought-provoking questions and conversations that she hosted on Facebook and through her work with the Harrisonburg Citizen. I personally believe that Martha Woodruff's true talent was seeing people for who they were, being with them on their level, and celebrating what she saw. It's a powerful thing to be truly seen and heard. And she also let herself be fully seen by those who took the time to look. At WMRA, she forged a legacy of generosity and inclusion, and we've been made the better for it.
Matt Bingay, remembering Martha Woodruff. Go to WMRA.org to hear an interview with Martha from 2016 about her life and work. You can also listen to past episodes of The Spark there. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Tuesday.